with me tonight, if you've got a Bible, to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and we're going to read a very familiar passage tonight in the Word of God. John 14, and we're going to read from verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We'll end the reading there at the end of verse 14, and again we look to the Lord to add his blessing upon the reading of his word. Last time we had looked at the book of John and sought to see the Lord Jesus Christ, we noted love displayed and love betrayed. The Lord Jesus Christ reminded his disciples of how much he loved them when he told them he loved them unto the end. And then he went and he showed his love by illustration when he washed the feet of his disciples. Peter wasn't happy about that, but the Lord Jesus Christ reminded him that unless he was washed, he could have no part with him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in washing the feet of the disciples, reminded them and us that there was one numbered amongst them who did not belong to them, and that was Judas Iscariot. Then we come to the closing verses in John's Gospel in chapter 13. You'll see how that Judas Iscariot leaves the rest and goes out in order to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to bring your attention tonight to the verses we have read here in John chapter 14. It's a very simple passage of Scripture, and I want to remind you of some special truths for a solemn occasion. Some special truths for a solemn occasion. I want you to note, first of all, here tonight, a wonderful peace. Jesus says to his disciples as he continues to minister to them, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, it's important that we understand the context of these verses, and it's important that we understand why the disciples were so down and so discouraged at that present time. They're in a state of despondency because the Lord Jesus Christ has told them that very soon he must leave them, because he's going to go the way of the cross and he's going to bear away the sin of the world. And then he's going to rise again from the dead. He's going to ascend back to heaven to the place that was rightfully his. And they've been with him now for 3 years. They'd learned so much from him. They'd witnessed his great power through the different miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ had performed. They'd been instructed in eternal matters as Jesus had sat with them, sometimes in little groups, sometimes the 12 together, and he had spoken to them about the Word of God. They had walked with him and they'd worked with him and they had grown to love him. But now the Lord Jesus Christ is soon going to leave them, and they're downcast and they're discouraged. They haven't grasped everything that Jesus Christ has already taught them, and it seems they've forgotten the fact that Jesus Christ must go to the cross at Calvary if there's going to be a spiritual harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ had already told them that. He spoke about how that this grain or the seed would fall into the ground and it would bring forth fruit. And of course Jesus was speaking about his own life, and he was reminding them that he had to give his life on the cross at Calvary. He would be taken from the cross, he would be buried, and on the third day he would rise again. And it was through his death and his glorious resurrection from the dead that men and women like you and me could enter into this new life that Jesus Christ had come to purchase for us. But they didn't understand all of this at that particular time. They weren't thinking about a spiritual harvest. They were thinking about a departing Savior. They had put their trust in Jesus Christ. They believed with all their hearts that he was in fact the hope of Israel, the one whom the prophets had spoken about. And now when Jesus Christ is going to go away from them, they can't understand it. They're down and discouraged. And Jesus Christ says to them, look, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. If you believe in God, then believe also in me. And I say tonight, perhaps to some child of God who's sitting in this meeting going through dark and difficult days, that just as the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about his disciples and how they were feeling and what they were facing, he also knows all about you. It might be that you're sitting here going through one of the worst periods of your Christian life, and you're really down tonight. It doesn't show in your face, but in your spirit, you seem to be so down and so discouraged. You're battling through so many things that others know nothing about, and you feel tonight that there's no need for pressing on. You just can't cope anymore, and nobody seems to understand anything about you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ does. And he says to you tonight, don't be discouraged. Don't allow despondency to take over your life. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was able to give to his disciples a peace that was way beyond their understanding. And that's how the Lord Jesus Christ ministers to his own in those dark, difficult days, in those nights that are so long and weary. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to comfort us. He's able to give us the peace that passes all our understanding. He's able to bring us through even the most difficult periods of our lives. He's there in the midst of all the storms that we have to face. If we're trusting in him, there's nothing for us to fear. Yet maybe you're here tonight and you know nothing about that peace. And the problem is that you're outside the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need first of all to bring yourself to that place where you repent of your sin and know what it is to enjoy peace with God. The way you are now without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no peace within. You're not even at peace with God, because the Bible says that in your sin, you're an enemy of God, you're a stranger to God, you're alienated from God because of your sin. But here's the good news of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. You could come tonight with all your sin and all your shame. You could come to the foot of an old rugged cross where Jesus Christ has died for your sins, and you could lay your burden down at the foot of that cross, and you could find not only peace with God, but you could know the very peace of God deep within your heart this evening. You say to me, but hold on a moment. I would like to believe that, but my life's in such a mess and I'm going through such difficult times that I just don't see how that can be possible. Well, Jesus says that it is. And those of us who are Christians tonight have proved it to be true in many adverse circumstances in life. You could know peace whatever your circumstances, even though they are dark, even though they are difficult, even though it seems as if you're being crushed on the rocks of life. You could be lifted above those circumstances. You could be enabled to face all that comes your way, and all because of the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ can give to us in the midst of all the storms of life. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know it is well with my soul. My, what a wonderful peace that is. When you know that you're reconciled to God through the blood of Christ's cross, when you know that it's well with your soul, you don't just survive in the midst of doubts and difficulties. You smile in the midst of the storms because you can rest confidently in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's wonderful Son. I wonder tonight, do you know anything about that peace? Many years ago, I met a lady and we were talking together when she broke into tears. She left me and then she came back again not long after that and sat down. She'd got herself tidied up. She'd stopped crying and we began to talk together about why she felt the way she did. And she told me her story. Told me how that her son had come home from school one day with his young mates from school and how they were playing. And she heard them upstairs in the bedroom. They were all playing together and then all of a sudden, a few of the young mates came running down the stairs. They rushed into the room and they said, come quick, there's something wrong. And she went up the stairs to find that her young son was hanging with his tie from the wardrobe door and he was dead. She couldn't understand that. She was troubled deep within. She loved the Lord and she knew all about the Lord's wonderful peace, but that day, she says she just went to pieces. When her pastor called to see them, just before the funeral service, he took her in his arms and he said to her, look, I'm struggling with this. I really don't know what to say that is going to be of benefit to you. And he went home to pray about the funeral service and what he might say. And the day of the funeral, even though he didn't understand what had happened, he took as his text these words in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Friends, life can turn up all kinds of different experiences that we never thought might ever come to my home or your home, to my life or your life. But whatever those circumstances are, and whenever they come, there's nothing like knowing the peace of God that passes all our human understanding. A wonderful peace that the Lord Jesus Christ alone can impart. I want you to see here in these verses a wonderful prospect. Listen again to the words of the Lord Jesus when he says to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to leave them. He was going to go by way of the cross and then return to his Father. But now he adds a whole new dimension to all of this. He assures them that despite their present difficulties, that they have a bright and a glorious future to look forward to. He says, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It seemed that day that the disciples, for them, their lives had come to an end. They were so down and so discouraged that they didn't see anything good in what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. But then he seeks to encourage them and he says this. He says, yes, I'm going to leave you, for I must go to the cross and I must die for the sin of the world. But don't you be discouraged, because one day I'm going to come back again and I'm going to take you to be with myself. What a prospect that was. What a joy to know that they were on their way home to heaven. How sad it is that the subject of the Lord's return has almost disappeared from the Christian church today. And that ought not to be the case, because the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ should thrill the hearts of every child of God. We don't know exactly when he will come, but all the signs of the times would say to us and suggest to us that he's coming soon. And he's coming for those who are watching and waiting and longing for his return. He's coming for those who are redeemed by his precious blood. He's coming to take them home. He's coming to take us back to heaven with him. And what a joy that will be. Just to awake in one moment, having passed through death perhaps, to be in the glory of heaven, or else to be caught up together with the Lord in the air, to walk those streets that are paved in purest gold. Friends, tonight Jesus Christ is coming back again. And he's coming back to take those who are his to be with him in heaven for all of eternity. And the problem is that some of you are not saved, and heaven you'll never see. Some of you are not saved and you have no preparation made when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And when he comes, not if he comes, when he comes. If he should come tonight, there are some of you sitting here and you'll be caught up with me to meet the Lord in the air. There are some of you sitting here and you'll be caught out because you're not ready to go. I hope there are none sitting here tonight who'll be caught on, who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet, like Judas Iscariot, they don't belong to him. Because on that day there'll be no hiding place. Some of you might be saying tonight, hold on a moment, Pastor. You're talking about something tonight that the early Christians talked about. I mean, let's go back to the very beginning. Weren't there those in the Scriptures who genuinely and honestly believed that the coming of the Lord was near? And now we're 2,000 years on and he still hasn't come. What's the problem? Well, there's no problem. It's just that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not that the Lord hasn't yet kept his promise, for he will. But he is giving you tonight the opportunity to prepare yourself in the light of a long eternity and to leave your sin and to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. God wants to save you and he's waiting to save you. He doesn't want to see you perish. He takes no delight whatsoever in the death of the wicked. But friend, listen. The day will come when it may be too late for you to find Christ. We've seen that already in John's Gospel when Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. You'll seek me, but you shall not find me. And in the light of the fact that he is coming again, is it not time for some of you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ while he's yet to be found, and to call upon him while he is near? The Bible tells us his coming is sure. He said it himself, if I go, I will come again. The Bible tells us that his coming will be sudden. It will take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Bible tells us his coming will separate. It will separate those who are saved from those who are not. And I wonder, do some of you realize the solemnity of all of that? Just imagine if the Lord was to come this very night, and here you are, and you're sitting here in this meeting, and your husband's saved, and you're not saved, even though you know you need to be saved. And if the Lord comes and he goes to meet the Lord in the air, you're left to face the wrath of God. You've been married for years, and your husband has witnessed to you and prayed for you, brought you to the meetings that you might come to know Christ. And if Christ came tonight, he'll go to be with Christ and you'll be left unsaved and unprepared. And it's the same the other way round. Should you be sitting here tonight and your wife saved and you not? Some of you young people and children, you're sitting in the meeting tonight and you're not saved. What if the Lord was to come and mom and dad were to go to be with him, and you left behind, never to see heaven, never to see them ever again, because they'd go to be with Christ and you'd be left because you're not ready? You see, whilst the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ brings tremendous hope and comfort to those who are in Christ, what a challenge it brings to those who are not. Let me ask you something. In the light of all of this, is it not time for you to prepare to meet God? Heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people. If you're not saved and Christ should come, you'll never be there. And you really don't know what you're missing out on. A minister was one day in his study preparing a sermon when his young daughter entered the study, and she said to him, "Daddy, will you come out and play with me?" "I'm sorry," said her dad, "but I'm too busy right now. But if you come back in an hour or so, I'll come out and I'll play with you just as you're asking." The young girl looked at her dad and she said to him, "Dad, I'll be back in an hour or so. And when I come back, I'm going to give you a real big hug." The dad smiled and said, "I'm looking forward to that." She went to leave his study, and at the door she did a U-turn. And she came back again and she jumped up on her dad's knee and she gave him a real big tight hug. "Honey," he said, "you said that you'd give me a big hug when I was finished." "I know that," she said, "Daddy, but I just wanted to let you know what you had to look forward to." Do you know something? The Lord Jesus Christ just wanted to let his disciples know what they had to look forward to. They were down and discouraged, and he said to them, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And he turned their thoughts to heaven and to home, and he said, "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." A wonderful peace, a wonderful prospect. all due to a wonderful person. Thomas, of course, one of the Lord's disciples, didn't grasp all that he'd said, wanted to be sure about the matter, and he said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way?" And a conversation ensues between Thomas and the Lord. But to make it as simple as he possibly can, the Lord Jesus Christ turns and he says to Thomas, he says, "Listen, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I have to confess, I love this text, because this is the text that brought me to faith in Christ. But what a wonderful text this is. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That tells me three very simple things that dispel much of the error that we see around us today. To the seeking soul, Jesus is the way. Thomas says, "Lord, how can we know the way?" That's a good question. It's a very important question in the world in which we're living, when we're told time and time again that all roads will ultimately lead us to God. That's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell itself. The fact of the matter is that Jesus makes it abundantly clear, and he says, if you want to be sure of heaven, if you want to be in that place that I'm going to prepare for you, then the only way you can get there is through me. I am the way. He's not one of many ways. You're never going to get to heaven your own way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior for sinners. He's the only way back to God. He's the only one who can save you tonight. And you can only be saved through his death upon the cross at Calvary. And if you don't come by the way of the cross, then, my friend, you cannot come at all. You cannot come at all. If you feel tonight that you're just going to make your way through life at your own pace, when it comes to the end of the journey and you have to go out into eternity, that you'll do things your own way, you need to think again. Because before you get to the edge of eternity, you're going to be lost, and God's word says so. But if you want to be saved, Jesus is the way. To the seeking soul, Jesus is the way. To the confused soul, Jesus is the truth. Scientists, skeptics, intellectuals, even the atheists have their own say about everything today when it comes to Christianity, to the origin of the world, to the existence of God, to heaven and hell and so on. And there are cults who are continually arriving on our doorsteps, and they rap the door and they come and they say, "I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to you about the truth." To such an extent today that people are confused about what is the truth. How can we be sure about the truth? How can we believe anybody? If they all say this, that, or the other thing, how can we be sure about the truth? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's not only the embodiment of truth, he speaks the truth. The Bible refers to him as the faithful witness. He's somebody tonight whose word you can depend upon. I'm not asking you tonight to take what I say hook, line, and sinker, but I am asking you to take to heart the words of Christ. When he says, "I am the way," he means I'm the only way. When he says, "I am the truth," there need be no confusion. You can forget about the devil's lies. You can forget about the fanciful ideas of the modern world. You can dispose of all the intellectual reasoning of the modern thinker. You just need, by faith, to take Christ at his word, believe in him. He is the truth, and he speaks the truth. To the seeking soul, Jesus is the way. To the confused soul, Jesus is the truth. And to the hungry soul, Jesus is life. So many people are dissatisfied with their portion in life today, and I understand that. Because for them, life is empty, seems to have no purpose and no real direction. And there are many people genuinely who want something better than what they have. They're making their way through life, and there doesn't seem to be anything that satisfies. There doesn't seem to be for them anything that's worth living for. Well, simplistic though it might seem to you, Christ makes life worth the living. Christ really makes life worth the living. He gives life a whole new meaning. He is life, he gives life, and that's a life that is far more abundant than anything that you and I can enjoy in the world in which we live without the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? There are multitudes of people today. They're young, but they're also old. And they're going through life from one thing to another, from one high to another, from one experience to another, and they're always looking for something better, they're looking for something more, and they're looking for life, and they think they're living, and they don't realize they're only existing. Because that's how it is without Christ. And if I give the opportunity at this meeting for some to rise to their feet and talk about their love for Jesus Christ and all that he has done for them through this great thing called salvation, they'll tell you it's the same experience as the hymn writer of old, "I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed." And they'll keep on failing. And they'll keep on failing. Because you'll never be fulfilled, and life will be meaningless and empty, without purpose and without direction, until you make the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord of your life. You know that recently I was down in Dunseverick at a youth mission. There was a girl invited along one of the nights to give her testimony, and I absolutely was thrilled when I heard her. She was a girl who in her young years as a teenager had an eating disorder. She tried everything to try to live above it, to rise above it. But she got to the stage where she lost her way so badly that there was hardly a night in the week where she wasn't clubbing, where she wasn't drinking, where she and her boyfriend were not almost trailed home, the worse for wear, to use an Ulsterism. She said it went on just one experience after the other, and she says one day, she says, "In the emptiness of life, someone told me about Christ." She said, "One night I just came, and there," she says, "I bowed my head and my heart and I asked Christ to be my Savior." And she said this, and I'll never forget it. She said, "It was only then I knew I had something worth living for." You see, it's Christ who makes life worth the living. And without him, you and I just don't know what it is to live. Here are some special truths for a solemn occasion. I don't know what your circumstances are tonight, but I do know this. If you're battling along the journey of life and you feel overwhelmed, there's a wonderful peace that Jesus Christ can bring to your heart and life. Something you may not fully understand until you know him. But it could be yours. You could have a wonderful prospect to look forward to. Jesus is coming again, and those who are his, well, they're going home. I don't know where you're going at the end of your life, but I'm glad tonight I'm going home. And you say, how can you be sure, Pastor? I mean, after all, doesn't everybody claim to know the right way? Well, whatever everybody else says and thinks, I'm just going to take the Lord Jesus Christ at his word. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believed that 26 years ago. I've never doubted it since. And I'll keep on believing it until Jesus comes or calls. What about you? If you're outside of Christ tonight, genuinely, honestly seeking for life that is real meaning and want to know the way whereby you might be saved, then like me, just take Jesus at his word. And you'll be absolutely amazed at what Jesus Christ can do with you, in you, and through you, if only you would trust him. And may you do that for his name's sake. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, tonight we're conscious that there are many in our world with no purpose, who seem to have no direction and never seem to have anything in life that can abundantly satisfy. But we bless you, there's life more abundant in Jesus. We pray tonight as we think of him, and as we think of your word together and having listened to the ministry and song, that we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior for sinners, and yet one who is waiting and willing and well able to save any one of us and every one of us if we'd only come in repentance and in faith and trust him as our Savior this very night. So will you bless your word to us in the ministry and song, and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. We ask it in his worthy name. Amen.